The SPCC compliance date is moved back to April of this year. CERCLA lives, and federal agencies can go back to issuing guidance. Today is February 6, 2009, and here's what happened this week in the pollution control industry.
This podcast is brought to you by RemTech Summit 09, the inaugural remediation summit dedicated to the vigorous exchange of ideas on environmental remediation science and technology.
EPA announced last Friday it is extending by 60 days the effective date of the December 5, 2008 Oil Spill Prevention Control and Countermeasure Final Rule. The amendments will now become effective on April 4th of this year. In addition to extending the effective date, EPA announced it is providing a 30-day public comment period for the SPCC final rule. While the agency will accept public comment on all aspects of the rule, EPA noted it is particularly interested in comment on the requirements for produced water containers at oil production facilities and the criteria for identification of qualified oil production facilities eligible to self-certify their SPCC plans. In addition, EPA is requesting public comment on the 60-day extension of the effective date itself. The agency is also reviewing the dates by which owners or operators of facilities must prepare or amend their SPCC plans and implement those plans. In its release, EPA said it intends to address these compliance dates in a separate notice. The Department of Health and Human Services Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry issued on Monday a notice of availability for 7 final toxicological profiles of priority hazardous substances. This is the 20th set of toxicological profiles that ATSDR has compiled. Of those, 1, Guthion, was a new final toxicological profile. The other 6 are just updated final toxicological profiles. These include aluminum, creosols, diazonin, diclopropenes, phenols, and 1,1,2,2 tetrachloroethane. Coming up, EPA and politics go their separate ways as President Obama nixes a Bush executive order that reined in guidance documents and put political operatives in charge of agency decision-making, after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by RemTech Summit 09, the inaugural remediation summit dedicated to the vigorous exchange of ideas on environmental remediation science and technology. Learn about the latest cutting-edge developments within the environmental science and remediation field from the world's leading experts within the academia, regulatory, industry, and environmental consulting communities.
CERCLA has survived to see another day after a court decision this week reaffirmed Superfund's right to demand cleanup. The U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia ruled in the case of General Electric Company v. Jackson that EPA did not violate due process when it denied a hearing and other procedural safeguards before issuing an order requiring remediation of a hazardous waste site. According to court documents, GE originally filed a lawsuit in 2000 after it was ordered by the EPA to dredge soil from the Hudson River that had been contaminated with PCBs discharged over the course of many years. The cost of the cleanup at that time was estimated at $460 billion. Estimates today are actually considerably higher. CERCLA provisions, in most cases, prohibit courts from reviewing challenges to removal. However, the appeals court held that GE's suit could move forward because it is not challenging any particular action or order by EPA, but rather a challenge to the CERCLA statute itself. Say hello again to EPA guidance. Thursday's Federal Register included a January 30, 2009 executive order revoking Executive Orders 13258 of February 26, 2002 and 13422 of January 18, 2007 concerning regulatory planning and review. The new executive order also directs OMB and the heads of executive departments and agencies to, quote, rescind any orders, rules, regulations, guidelines, or policies implementing or enforcing Executive Order 13258 or Executive Order 13422 to the extent consistent with law, end quote. Under Executive Order 12866, issued by former President Clinton, OMB reviews federal rules and regulations before they are proposed and issued in final and evaluates a limited number of guidance documents. Executive Order 13258, issued by former President Bush, removed the role of Vice President and President for appeals of OMB decisions and general conflict resolution, giving that power instead to the President's Chief of Staff. Executive Order 13422, also issued by former President Bush, amended Clinton's rule to establish a process providing an opportunity for interagency coordination and review of significant guidance documents prior to their issuance. In layman's terms, EPA is going back to the same independence from the White House as it had under President Clinton. During his 2 terms in office, President Bush issued 2 executive orders affecting how agency decisions are reviewed by OMB. The first simply took these reviews off the desk of the President and Vice President, giving the rubber stamp to the Chief of Staff, then Andy Card. The second executive order is a more important one. In 2007, President Bush issued an executive order that included guidance documents. Those 2 executive orders are rescinded. 13422, the one concerning guidance documents, also created the position of regulatory policy officer, a presidential appointee who could regulate all agency policies and guidance. By rescinding the executive order, President Obama has abolished this position, essentially removing political considerations from agency decision-making. This is Seth Fisher with Pollution Engineering Magazine. On behalf of Pollution Engineering and RemTech 09, we thank you for listening.
We invite you to join us on March 3rd through the 5th, 2009, in Atlanta, Georgia, for the inaugural RemTech Summit. Visit www.remtech09.com to learn more.